We're going to turn to scripture again now, to the Bible. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16. If you were watching the stream last week, we read the verses before this. We'll put them on the screen. If you've got your own Bible, that's great too. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let's pray together. And Father, we acknowledge before you that we can be a bit like Peter at times, hearing your word but going off on our own track, not wanting to see your way, your path, especially if it looks rough. Forgive us, Lord. And we pray this morning that you'd set us on the path that you have for us. We acknowledge before you there are times that we want the world, but we don't give much thought to our own souls. So forgive us, Lord. Help us to understand what you meant when you said deny yourself and carry your cross. Lord, we acknowledge before you that there are times when we become a stumbling block to others and even to ourselves. Times when we look for complications instead of simply following you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to do exactly that this morning, to follow you. We pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. So is it good to see one another? Take a look around. Just have a little, those of you who are here at home, obviously you can turn to the person on the sofa if you want. I hope that you're managing to get out and about a bit more. Do you remember just a couple of months ago when we were still in lockdown and it was pretty tough to go out? We weren't supposed to go out, were we? All of us were supposed to be making sure that we went out as little as possible. And even now, there are people who can't go out very much, and people, and some of us here know all about this, who've been having to self-isolate to keep ourselves away from other people. Now, we handle that in different ways, don't we? Some of us, I think, are okay with being on our own and having long periods of time when we're thinking about very little else apart from ourselves. You know, a lot of people have found self-isolation hard. I honestly say I've never felt more at home. It's been one of those things that, watch you have to be quick, all right? I can't see your reactions under here. I learned lots in self-isolation. I don't know about you, lots about myself, but lots of other things. I learned that if you want to do a self-portrait, you need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself. And I learned things about myself. My friends tell me I have no self-awareness. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. If I had no self-awareness, I'd know, wouldn't I? No, of course I would know. Have you learned anything about yourself during lockdown? What about you at home? Anything about yourself that you've learned over the last few months? I have, in seriousness, learned a fair bit about myself. Jesus has quite a lot to say about the self. Quite a lot to say about the self. So yourself and myself, our selves. And let's be honest, what he has to say in the reading that we read, verse 24, I'm picking on particularly, verse 24. What he has to say doesn't sound particularly great, does it? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, as marketing goes, that's not particularly good PR, is it? It's lacking in appeal. As a recruitment drive, Jesus has got it all wrong here. This fails to reach the part that other management opportunities target. As a lifetime ambition, it offers very little in the way of success. And we know where this story is going. Jesus has started to talk about his death. This is a story that ends in betrayal and denial and disgrace and death. Not particularly exciting stuff. And I want to pick out what Jesus says and try and understand what that means for me this morning. And the first thing that Jesus says is that we should deny ourselves. That's my first point. We deny self. We deny self. This is pretty much the opposite of what anyone else will tell you in the world in which we live. The modern way that we live, the way our lives are built around our autonomy as individuals, it's all about me. All about me. I found that while we were in isolation, you know, we spent a lot more time on the internet. That was a way of connecting with people. And the old internet is so self-centered. It's all meme, meme, meme. Jesus says we must deny ourselves. Now, listen, to deny ourselves, this isn't the same as self-denial. This isn't like giving up chocolate for Lent, for instance, all right? Or foregoing the extra piece of pie. That's kind of self-denial. This is denying of self, and it means something completely different. It means giving ourselves completely and utterly to Jesus. So that in comparison, self has no rights whatsoever. It's what Jesus says that matters. It's his way, not our way. It's not what I think, it's what he thinks. It's actually a recognition that there are limits to myself and ourselves because we are not God. But Jesus is Son of Man, Son of God. He is God. And therefore, to deny self means to put him in his rightful place. Now, it doesn't mean that we're particularly down on ourselves. Good old C.S. Lewis, he has a way of putting things, doesn't he? It's not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. We are not the be-all and end-all. We are not most important. In a world which tells you that you matter, that you're worth it, well, you are, but so does everybody else. We live in a complicated world, and if we're always putting our own interests above those of others, what will we see? I'll tell you what we'll see, the kind of world that we live in, because that's what we're like. Jesus' message is good news here. It's a hard line to sell. But we should be people who deny self in preference to what God knows is good for us, to all that Jesus came to give us life in fullness. It sounds very harsh, but the point of the matter, the heart of the matter, is the matter of the heart, the human heart. The self to which Jesus refers is not our personal identity as a distinct individual. You are who you are. I am who we are. That's great. God made us. He loves us. But it's the natural, sinful, rebellious, unredeemed self part of us that will lead us astray, that is at the center of every fallen person, every human being, and that includes us, you and me as well. Ephesians 4 tells us, encourages us to put off the old self, that kind of self, and to put on a new self. This is so countercultural, even today. It sounds ridiculous to modern ears, but it makes good sense when you see things for what they really are. You see, today we're so used to the primacy of the individual, our seemingly inexhaustible belief that our desires are always within our reach, that we can solve all of our problems, that we can create a just and fair society, that we fail to see how illogical that is. That's faith in self. We can do this. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus is saying here, no, you can't. Don't fool yourself. Look around. We live in a culture of supposed sensible, non-superstitious secularism, inspired in the popular imagination by the rise of science and enlightenment thinking in the West. Over the last centuries, as individuals, we've been told that we are cosmic accidents, adrift on a planet on the edge of an empty existence, an empty universe, that we can't even control our own emotions, that what we think of as original thoughts and experiences and feelings are nothing of the kind, that our motivations, our interests and our desires, they're programmed into us as biological instincts. And alongside that particularly depressing way of seeing humanity, we're encouraged to hold on to what only can be described as a religious faith in our individual selves. This is what Jesus is talking about. Deny self. It's a different kind of gospel. Paul talks about that in Galatians. The gospel of self. No. Jesus says deny self. To be shaped by the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of grace, the gospel of good news. It's the most countercultural thing we can do. It's to break the only taboo of modern life in the West. To commit self-disobedience. To acknowledge authority does not lie in us. That we ultimately have no autonomy. To admit that we're broken, that we're rebellious against God and his rule. To admit that Jesus is Lord and ruler. So to abandon our own rule and to collapse into his arms of grace is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Suddenly, Jesus is beginning to make perfect sense to me, at least. Deny yourself. Deny self, he says. Secondly, what he says, I have to be quick these days. Secondly, he says, carry your cross. I want you to carry your cross. The version we read said, take up your cross. The word is carry. It's carry it with you. Take it with you. Some of us are old enough to remember a man called Arthur Blissett who literally carried a cross around with him wherever he went. He walked the roads with a wooden cross in order to tell people about Jesus. We're called to carry our cross. Is that what it means for you and me? Well, not necessarily. Maybe you'd like to do that. Maybe God wants you to do that, but he probably doesn't. But he does want us to carry a cross. What does that mean? Again, this is living counterculturally, not going along with the crowd and the masses and the way the world thinks. Someone said Christianity is all about a cross. It is a cross. And a cross is an I crossed out. Deny self again, isn't it? An I crossed out. Carrying your cross is not some mystical level of selfless, deeper spiritual life that only the religious elite can ever hope for. It's not also, by the way, it's not those kind of common trials and tribulations that pretty much everyone comes across. You know that old saying, we've all got a cross to bear? It's not that. It's not that at all. A cross isn't having a difficult husband or a domineering mother-in-law. It's not having a physical disability or suffering from an incurable disease. That's the normal stuff of life. We all deal with all of that. That's not carrying a cross. To take up your cross is to be willing to go Jesus's way. It's willing to pay any price for Jesus' sake. The willingness to endure shame and embarrassment and reproach and ridicule and rejection and persecution and even death, as so many people who own the name of Jesus, even today, are called to do. This is suffering because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. And if we're following Jesus, we will suffer for it in some way. In the West, not so much, apart from being ignored, which is not really that much suffering these days, is it? But it will mean that we sacrifice our agenda to his agenda. And to the people of Jesus' day, this was very, 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 you know, this was immediate. This was concrete stuff. This wasn't some arty-farty kind of concept that they wouldn't have got. Carrying your cross. The cross was the instrument of execution of the Roman Empire. They reserved it for their worst enemies. There were about 30,000 people, we think, crucified during the days of Rome. And when the disciples and the crowd heard Jesus talking about carrying a cross, there was nothing mystical about this idea. They'd immediately picture a poor, condemned soul walking along the road with the beam that would become his cross. And they think, what's Jesus on about? Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up a cross. The same as saying, come and bring your electric chair with you. Take up the gas chamber and follow me. If you're following me, you are dying to yourself. This is a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of living. He did not have a beautiful cross in mind, the cross on a church steeple or on the front of your Bible. Jesus had in mind a place of execution because we die to self. and we follow him. Jesus does not call disciples to make their lives easy and prosperous, but make them holy and productive. And this is the mark of a true disciple. The old hymn says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So this morning, I'm going to go on very, very quickly here. Deny yourself, says Jesus. Carry your cross. Let's not make excuses. Let's not make excuses about all of this. The readings for today, if you follow lectionaries, which are set readings for set days, they're all about people making excuses. There's a story about Moses. I can't go into detail. A story about Moses making excuses when God calls him to follow. All right, this is before Jesus said these words, but the message is the same. Come my way, don't go your way. Deny yourself, take up the cross. And Moses says, "Who am I? Who are you? They won't believe me. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not going to do it. Here I am, Lord, please send someone else." He makes excuses. The passage we read from Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah made so many excuses before God. He was too young. No one would listen to him. He questioned the entire basis of life. He said, "Look, I did what you asked me. I spoke. Look where it's got me. Don't even know if I believe in you anymore." I like these stories because it's like me. You know, this is not about super spirituality. It's not about people who've got it all together. It's about people who make mistakes. Peter. "Oh, Lord, no, this is not right. Get behind me, Satan." Peter, he got it so right last week. Hero to zero in what? Three verses? Something like that. Poor old Peter. In Jesus' day, there were many who, like today, look to Jesus to solve their money problems, their relationship problems, their health problems, but they grow disillusioned because that sort of stuff is pretty constant for all of us. But they're unwilling to obey Jesus completely. They're unwilling to deny self and take up cross and follow. When Jesus doesn't solve the problems or following Jesus requires real sacrifice, then they give up. They're casual followers, not committed disciples. Which are you this morning is my question. Which am I? We're honest. Our response to the cost of discipleship is pretty lame, isn't it? It's a bit like this poem. It's a poem by Dan Atkins called "If It Don't Rain." If it don't rain. "I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean too. I would crawl the hottest desert. I'd do anything for you. I would leap the tallest building. I'd bear any trial or pain. There's no limit to my love. And I'll be over Friday night if it don't rain." Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "If someone happens to be 36 years old, which is what I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for what is right and what is just, and he refuses to stand up because he wants to live a little longer, that he's afraid that his home will get bombed or he's afraid that he'll get shot, he may go on and live till he's 80. And the cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit." Man dies when he refuses to stand up for which is right. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. Jesus is looking for people who are willing to die to themselves. Otherwise, we're not really living. We may be physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. Will I deny myself, take up my cross and follow him? What about you? This is not the showstopper or the headline grabber or the soundbite. Following Jesus, taking up a cross, it's not found in the snappy slogan, the latest management technique, or even mission-focused straplines of trendy churches. This is about a calling to a cross-marked life, requiring us to reorder our priorities so that our lives match the good news of Jesus, to keep the discipline of turning aside from self and the secularized world, to hear again the message of God and be faithful in living it. This hangs in our kitchen. You have two choices for dinner, take it or leave it. Jesus said, take up your cross. He didn't say take it or leave it. He said, take up your cross and follow me. If you want to be a disciple, that's the definition. So what's your choice? Follower of Jesus or not? Disciple or not? Are you going to make excuses this morning? Or are you going to deny yourself? Carry a cross and follow Jesus.